New data shows consistent polar ice levels for 20 years. Great news for everyone except the climate alarmists. Democrats in Colorado push new immigration laws to help illegals avoid deportation. And Republicans try to end shady lawmaker stock trading with the Pelosi Act. I'm Greg Corumbus, inviting you to join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day, and hopefully a lot of laughs, too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So, this Florida man, they got into a fight at a school drop-off. This was in Boca Raton. A dad, this is like the most privileged thing I've ever heard of. A dad allegedly punched by a BMW driver at a Boca Raton school drop-off line. Yeah, it got crazy. Now, when I first saw the headline, I saw a headline that said a parent had been punched, and I immediately thought it was women. Because, men, I don't know if you all know what y'all's wives get up to in the drop-off line at school, but some of y'all's wives need driving lessons and attitude adjustments. Oh my gosh, get your women in check. I have seen, when I used to do school drop-off, oh my gosh, I watched women honk at each other. It was a Christian school. They'd honk at each other. They were not playing men. So I was actually surprised that this was two dudes, in full honesty. So this was Monday morning that a father got punched by an irate driver. Palm Beach County Sheriff had to respond. They said that they responded to a report of battery at Waters Edge Elementary School. When deputies arrived, the victim was dropping off his kid, a BMW cut in front of him. The victim honked his horn because I guess he was getting ready to drive and the guy cut in front of him. In an attempt to talk to the BMW driver, later identified as Kareem Muhammad, the victim pulled his car alongside the BMW. He drove in front of it, and then Muhammad got out of his vehicle and began, like, throwing punches. Approached the victim's car and began throwing punches. Sorry, sir, this is not Gaza. You needed to calm down. Anyway, he ended up getting arrested. He was totally arrested. They had to track him down through his license plate. This cool crossing guard had to take a photo because the guy fled the scene. So now he's been accused of burglary with assault or battery and damaging property of over 200 but under 1,000. Like, just chill. Just chill in the carpool line. Just calm yourself. We could do a whole show on that. Let's see. A Florida man goes on a cashing out spree, smashing and raiding cash registers in a Walmart store in what has been described as the worst robbery technique ever. Broad daylight. It's a viral clip that started on Reddit, and a guy smashes all these cash registers to pieces and stealing all the money inside of it and then leaving. He stuffed money into the pocket, into all of his pockets, and he walked to another payment point, smashed it up until it opened, took out the money. And he did this on like a number of other drawers. I mean, he was there for a long time doing this. I'm not quite sure like how this is allowed to go on that long without any kind of like security or anything. That was stunning to me. He had like no money, and he went from register to register asking for change for $100 without presenting the money. And then he went wild when they said, well, you need to give us the $100 to make change. And then he went crazy. He destroyed 10 registers and took money out of 10 registers. Police finally arrived on the scene as he was leaving. He tried to evade, but it was tased. That's like, how long does that happen? It was like a while. That's like a long video. It was a very long time that this was happening. So I don't know. Tomorrow I'll tell you about the gator that has a chair stuck on its head. It's our friends over at Kel-Tec, the Gen 3 Sub 2K. If you don't have it, you need it. Now, I'm going to have to get this one. This is one that I actually do not have. And it's now it's 10 millimeter. I was like really wanted to run to the mic the first time I heard of this. I was like, oh, I want to go tell everybody. So it's the new third gen Sub 2K. This is the rifle that folds like in half, right? Innovation with a twist, that rotating fore end. And you can, it deploys zeroed and ready to go. It folds up, optics and all. You don't have to take anything off. And it takes Glock mags. You have a standard 15 round Glock mag, which is awesome. Glock 20, I got a lot of capacity for whatever your shooting needs are. and folds down to just under 17 inches for easy storage and transport. Light and 5-pound trigger pull, internal buffer for softer recoil, integrated M-lock, rails up top for accessory attachments. This is ideal for legit everything. And Kel-Tec makes everything right here in the U.S. of A. You're talking about American labor, American parts, American manufacturing. We need more American companies like Kel-Tec. KelTecWeapons.com, innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. It's the new Sub 2K Gen 3 10 millimeter. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
If you like true crime, you'll love the Miracle Files podcast.
We share real stories with the suspense of true crime, but we'll leave you with a sense of light and hope.
Like the college wrestler who fought a grizzly, the woman who was dead for nearly an hour, or the child lost in a dark mine for days. These are the kind of stories that remind us miracles are real.
Subscribe to The Miracle Files wherever you get your podcasts and join us on this thrilling journey of faith and miracles.
Did you really not have any idea that he was not fit to serve a second term?
Casey, we're looking forward. We have the largest Medicaid cut in front of us. We have the whole federal government
at risk.
You're
facing all of this because you lost a presidential election. And is that not Joe Biden's responsibility for deciding to run again?
We're looking forward.
That's it?
That's it.
Wow. No, they don't want to answer questions. I can't wait for the press to go apoplectic because Democrats aren't... The press people, like, don't try to make your names now by pretending to be journalists. You missed that boat. That boat sailed. It's gone. It's not in the harbor anymore. It's away from the dock. There's no reclaiming it. The idea that people didn't know is one of the dumbest things ever. I guess they think everyone's stupid enough to believe it. It is amazing to me. It's actually a medical marvel, really. How many people suddenly realized that Joe Biden had issues? They took a new medicine. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's called getting a book deal. And like Jake Tapper is taking getting a book deal. And a lot of these people that were in the Biden administration, they all took got a book deal. And
how do I find out if got a book deal is right for me?
Ask your doctor if got a book deal is right for you. Welcome back to the show, Dana Lash. Top of the second hour. Listen across the country. The stream is at 340, channel 347 DirecTV. The chat's at Rumble, though. All that good stuff. Yeah, it's called Got a Book Deal. It's an amazing, like, modern marvel of medicine wherein you're able to see that someone is barely, like, functioning, like, barely cognitively there. It's wild. Like, they didn't know before. Apparently, no one else knew. I love how the press is like, you need us to tell you these things. I saw him fall up the stairs. I saw him forget where he was and not be able to speak and have somebody in an Easter Bunny costume redirect him back to the White House lawn. Saw these things. The press did too. And then they said it was cheap fakes when we would post the video of it. Oh, those are cheap fakes. They're very expensive real video, sir. Thank you. It's not a cheap fake. It's very expensive real video. But they were insistent that, oh no, you are all wrong. You're all so wrong. And I don't know. They were all part of the problem. Audio soundbite 11. So Jake Tapper is, you know, he's probably not a client who got a book deal. He's the president of the company. Just, this is what I'm talking about. Here's a little montage. Just take a little look-see.
How do you think it makes little kids with stutters feel when they see you make a comment like that?
It's very clearly a cognitive decline.
Okay.
That's what I'm referring to. It makes me uncomfortable.
This is so amazing. It's so amazing to me
and try and figure out an answer.
A cognitive decline.
President Biden embraces his stutter, talking about it, while Trump mocks it, exaggerates it, belittles it. He's sharp physically. I mean, mentally.
Yeah.
I think the question is physically, right?
Right.
More so?
Right.
Right. And the guy who's his chief opponent is only three or four years younger than him.
Exactly.
I mean, you have questioned President Biden's age, mental fitness, ability to lead. Of those supporting Biden, you said, quote, shame on all of you pretending everything is okay. You're leading us and him into a disaster. Do you worry that you damaged him at all? I don't doubt that you got hugs and mm-hmm. and handshakes behind closed doors today, and maybe even publicly some of them because they like you personally. But I've heard a lot of really nasty stuff about you from your Democratic colleagues. Sure.
We have like 2 minutes
what
of
is he
just
thinking?
Supercuts. Little kids with stutters. How dare you point out that the president literally has no idea where he is? How do you think little kids with stutters feel about that? What? Yes, little kids with stutters. How dare you bring up the question of the Coke in the White House with baby infant Hunter Biden? What about all those children with scoliosis out there? How do you think they feel about that? What does that have to do? Shut up. Why do you hate stuttering children with scoliosis? I mean, it just like, just keep checking them boxes. You know what I mean?
And then one short year later.
Oh, I know. Like here, Steve has this flashback from NBC. Republicans float a quiet conspiracy theory. Okay, full stop. It wasn't quiet. They float a quiet conspiracy theory that Biden won't be on the ballot. And they talk about his health and his cognitive ability. Oh, my gosh. They just, I tell you what. Oh, my gosh. His stutter. Poor Joe Biden's stutter. Poor America. Like, no, come on. But now, oh, man. Audio soundbite 12. Now it's all different. What cheap fakes? What do you mean cheap fakes? Listen to this now. Woo.
Well, Obama's side of that story is he wasn't sure what was going on, but he just wanted to get out of there, and he wasn't going to get out of there without Biden, so he grabbed him, and it was more just his impatience than anything else. But other people who were there,
see, this is the part where
the
he
Biden
starts
White
to come
falsely
around. Well, you know, he really wanted to get off the stage. He probably had to pee or something. I don't know, but it looked, I mean, clearly he was very nervous and about getting off the stage, and he didn't want to leave without his best friend, Joe Biden, because, you know, they go everywhere together. Right. They go everywhere together. I mean, the lies. And now they got books on it. Now they have books on it. It is amazing. Audio soundbite 15. Wait, did we play? We haven't played 15 yet. Or was that the one we played? Is this a different MSNBC one?
I think it is. Actually.
Okay, yeah. This is. They all are stunned. I mean, these reporters, everybody, they're stunned. What? Watch.
Hand was up.
You said in June of last year, in my meetings with President Biden, I found him to be in command and impressive and wielding influence to make progress on key priorities. But in that same month, Biden apparently did not even recognize George Clooney at a fundraiser. Were you being straight with the American public?
Look, we're just looking forward.
We're just looking forward. Well, what about how you guys all lied and you hid the fact that Biden was in a severe cognitive decline? We're looking forward. No. We need to ask this question about this. It's all about looking forward. Looking forward, would you hide another decline in cognitive ability from a president of your party, sir? That's a question I would have asked. I'd have been like, well, okay, all right, Senator Schumer, looking forward. Would you totally lie your beans off about, you know, the cognitive decline of the president of your party? Would you lie again and hide that from the American people? You know, looking forward. Nobody asked that question because the press is still kind of scared of Democrats. This is why I don't like anybody getting cozy with the government. And this includes Republicans. Democrat press, they fall all over themselves to ingratiate themselves with the Democrat Party. You've seen it, right? To the point where they won't even, I mean, the guy fell up the stairs and, you know, forgot that he tried to find a guy who was dead in the audience at one point. I mean, there's no shortage of stories. You guys were there. And they pretended that, oh, no, nothing to see here. Totally normal. Totally normal things happening here with Joe Biden. Totally normal. It's asinine. It's like, yeah, like Kane says, like you get pulled over for speeding. No. I'm looking forward. You just keep looking backwards. Can you use that excuse for anything, really, though?
Yes, I mean,
no, I'm looking forward.
It really absolves you from any accountability.
Why did you club that baby seal to death, sir? Well, we're looking forward now.
We're looking backwards.
Yeah,
we're
stop living in the past and being negative and divisive. But my whole point is that the Democrat press, they're terrified of burning that access to power. So that's why they covered and looked the other way. Wait, they're pretending that they don't know? Okay, we will too. They had no idea. They want you to believe they had no idea. I don't want the right to be like that and be so ingratiated with government. You know, I had somebody bragging to me one time that they went to a cocktail party with some government thing. And I'm like, you're bragging about hanging out with the government. Like, back in the days of our founders, we'd probably burn you at the stake. That's like worse than being a witch. Like, what are you talking about here? But they're never going to recover any esteem. Not that they had a lot anyway, but they're never going to recover any respect that the American people would have for them. Not after this. Not at all. Not after this. I don't know. I had somebody remark, Tapper acts like he bought a ticket to the concert when he was actually a member of the band. That's exactly it. That's a great way to put it. That's an absolutely great way to put it. Goodness. Yes, when did you know? Oh, and then Chuck Todd on Schumer. He was also part of this. And now they're trying to really ratchet up their angst because they think if they act outraged, and if they pretend that you don't know where they were these past 4 years, that they're going to be able to redeem themselves and still be relevant. This is audio somebody at 16.
It's Chuck Todd. Go.
He is among the people that are responsible for this. The leaders of the Democratic Party, the staff of the White House.
Why do you see
and I have to say,
forward?
I find everybody
okay,
now
can we
talking
freeze
to
frame
these authors.
His hair? I am not. I know I was going to talk about his response, but what in the world is happening with that hairline? This is very important news. What is happening here? We just comb it forward now like that?
Maybe it was a flowbee.
You know, the only people who have haircuts like that are the British kids in the projects. Right? That's... You know what I mean, mate? It's that hair. It's that haircut. Anyway, I had to say it. Somebody had to. He's pretending that he's so upset, like he's part of the problem. You are all there. We're all there. It's like now they're trying to throw on red hats and be like, no, wait, we were here the whole time. No, you weren't. You guys were calling us names and saying that we were conspiracy theorists and the whole nine yards. You guys did all of that. What are you talking about? No, they were there. They were involved in all of it. So I don't know. I don't think that they're going to... No, this is... Audio somebody 10. Kevin O'Leary hit it. I thought this was a great statement. Listen.
...of health. It's that simple. If you seek the Supreme Office, the leader of the free world, you give up the right for privacy with your doctor on a cognitive health test. This poor man was broken. And look what happened to the country, and look at how he's being beaten up. It's almost immoral what we're doing to him now, to sell books. I was there at the White House dinner watching this. The same reporters who didn't report on him are profiting from his decline.
Which dinner?
It's outrageous what they're doing.
Which dinner, by the
way?
Well,
of course they are, because information is a product. How it's delivered is another product. And that's one of the things that I hope everybody realizes. There is no pure news anymore. There hasn't really ever been, especially if you understand the origin of the press in our country. There's never been pure press. And there's never been a more odious attempt to, I think, make money off of news gathering than right now. It's always been a propaganda battle, always, ever. But now they're wanting to merch it out in a million different ways. We're going to cover for it and make money. Then we're going to act surprised and make money. And then we're going to write books about it and act like we uncovered and got the scoop of all the people who knew. I don't believe in regular, I don't believe in like that journalism. There is such a thing as the pure practice of it. I think there are some people that prioritize news gathering and giving information to the people more than they like to worship at the altar of their vanity. But there's never been just like pure news gathering. There never will be. That has been a lie that has been perpetuated for years in this country as a way to sort of sanctify the press. And the reality is that there, in some instances, like prostitution sometimes is a more honest trade at this point. Our partners, All Family Pharmacy, They can help you out with all the medications that you need. With All Family Pharmacy, it's all about convenience, and you can take control with up to a 1-year supply of essential medications, things like your blood pressure meds, your cholesterol, your diabetes treatments, so you don't have to worry about last-minute pharmacy runs and stay ahead of your health. It's all affordable. I mean, you can get it shipped fast. It's affordable, no insurance, no problem. They have straightforward pricing, online ordering. Shipping is just like 2 to 4 days, but if you need it overnight in a pinch, your health is always within reach. They'll make it happen. And it's all made right here in the U.S. of A. Your medicines are manufactured right here in America. You don't have to worry about inputs or precursors from China. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana for 10% off. Use promo code Dana10. Don't wait. Be prepared. Protect yourself and your family today. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and use coupon code Dana10 to save 10%.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Really don't think there's anything better than a Simple Minds bumper track of New Gold Dream. Really don't think so. All right, so the Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning. Everybody's very excited about this. I rarely go to the theaters anymore, but I am going to go see this. The first one was phenomenal. Well, the last one that they did. The storyline, AI warfare, was phenomenal. But he apparently hangs from a helicopter in one of the stunts. I watched some video online. That's just absolutely insane. So this is the 8th film. It's called The Final Reckoning. And they're really, Paramount, which I think owns the game right now, they got a lot riding on this. So they said that it's been about $400 million and they've had production delays, mostly due to the 23 strikes. It's going to be one of the most expensive films ever made. The 7th one was phenomenal, so I think this will be really good too. We'll see. So it's not just a feeling. Data is showing that also boys and young men, per the New York Times, are falling behind. Educational achievement, mental health, transitions to adulthood indicate that many are not thriving. Well, that's just what feminists wanted, wasn't it? Wasn't that what third and fourth wave feminists wanted? They didn't want equality. They wanted to destroy men so they could give themselves something to bitch about later, so that they could always play weak, ineffectual victims. That's all they ever wanted to be. It's sad because they said now there's enough data to show that, I mean, everything from school to even perceptions in society, like toxic masculinity, everything is designed to basically be abusive to boys. Education, hiring. You have now women are outpacing men in top positions in major cities. Of recent male high school graduates, 57% are enrolled in college, barely up from 54, but now it's 66 with women, which has doubled in recent years. That's just the way it is. Mental health, harder for boys than it is for girls lately. So this is a real thing, and I think people need to get a handle on it. Also, your brain is shrinking even if you exercise regularly, if you sit too much. Interesting. So get up if you don't want to be stupid. Maybe that's kind of what it is. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast, the stream, channel 347, the chat at Rumble. And again, we are not responsible for those people. Don't make them mad. That's all I'm going to say. If you are a subscriber over at Chapter and Verse, over at Substack, there was a really good piece. And I heard from a lot of folks on this, including some of my very good friends who either have spouses that are on the spectrum or they have children that are on the spectrum. Because this is, it's a weird thing. They're very excited to see America incorporate some healthy standards. But at the same time, some of the discussion on some of the issues is not good. And this all stems from, let me go back to this, April 21st, Health and Human Services announcement. So they said under the NIH director, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, that they were going to create a new disease registry focused on autism. And a lot of people were up in arms, understandably, about this. Because first off, why are we making a list? Number one, I don't understand what the obsession is with registries. But also, when you're describing a particular issue, it's like you can't use a blanket term to describe it while you're also simultaneously stating that you want to help alleviate it. That doesn't help. So there's a really good piece from our contributor, and you know her, she moderates the chat as well, Lorraine Uriar, who I'm not rolling my R's. She said I didn't have to. That it's called RFK Jr.'s Troublesome Autism Registry. And if you haven't read it yet, it is a must-read deep dive on this issue. And not just her experiences as well, but also why it's a problem that NIH is looking to deal with this issue nationally in this way. Lorraine Uriard joins us now via video. Lorraine, good to see you. This was a great piece. There was a lot of really good feedback on this. Give me your first thoughts.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
When you first heard this, like, disease registry, I mean, I have family and friends that either have kids with autism or themselves they have autism, and from my experience, that's how none of them have ever described this issue. What did you first think of when you heard that?
Yeah, the biggest problem to me is how RFK just talks about autism and period. He seems to have, I don't know, the worst stereotype to apply to way too many people. He keeps quoting that like 26% number, which he got from the CDC study, but the CDC study put everybody labeled level 3 autism into that 26 number. And like, I have a child who's considered a level 3 autism, and she's used to be considered high functioning autistic. So she doesn't fit that profile that he's talking about at all. I've said before too, if you meet one person with autism, you meet one person with autism. So, I know that my family's, experience with autism, because I have autism, I have, my oldest is autistic, and my middle child's also autistic. We're all on the higher end of the spectrum. I can completely understand why people who are on the lower end of the spectrum are all very, very much want something done. I can understand that, because I mean, there's so much out there, and it's hard to watch your kid be that way and not be able to do much. But the way that RFK is talking about everything, I don't think he's actually looking for what people think he is. I think he's already got an answer in mind, and he's looking for data that will support that.
Interesting, because he uses the phrase, and you touched on this as well, on the phrase profound autism. It's a new term that you wrote was coined in 2022, and you write that's meant to refer to people who need 24/7 care, who can't live on their own. And you talked about this is where you said the stereotypes that he's referring to belong, but you also say, well, the CDC seems to classify everyone in level 3 as such, and then there's even more problems.
Yeah, well, level 3 is like you're nonverbal or barely verbal. Like, I mean, in my case, my daughter can talk, but she doesn't talk to people she doesn't know, and she doesn't talk often. So she got classified as level 3. But she's nowhere near anything like what he describes as, you know, this profound autism. Profound autism is meant to basically for the kids that are like, or the people that are, the IQ is under 50. And that's what profound is supposed to mean. And the whole reason for this term profound is because the DSM-5 kind of screwed us all up and dumped us all into one big pile, and then tried to sort it out with these levels, and they don't really do much.
Yeah, and that's a problem. We're talking with Lorraine Uriard, if you're listening, moderator over at the chat at Rumble and a contributor at Chapter and Verse as well. You really dove deep into this because you noted, too, the study that he cites, you know, the number of these diagnoses, have they increased over the years? But that profound, again, going back to that newly coined phrase, that's actually stayed relatively steady. But his claim is that it's a growing epidemic. How do you take that?
I look at the data, and he likes to say, oh, well, it can't possibly be because of better diagnostics. And in fact, in that article I have, there's a chart from California that shows how it's increasing. And I plotted on that chart where the DSM-5 diagnostics changed for autism, and where federal money got involved for the school systems, because prior to 1975, school systems did not take special needs kids.
Yeah.
It was very rare for a school to take a special needs kid. And once 1975, the first Education for Disabilities Act or whatever, I forget exactly what it's called, was passed, the federal government started funding this stuff. And that's when school systems start looking for it. And a lot of kids with autism these days are diagnosed in the school system. And so, you know, between that and the No Child Left Behind, which under No Child Left Behind, anybody that was a special need, you still had to get standardized testing, but you had a modified test and your score counted differently. And so because of that, it kind of gave the school system an incentive, a financial incentive, and to start labeling as many as they could.
Wow. That is, I mean, that explains a lot, quite a lot. And you get into that with this piece over at Chapter and Verse over at Substack. For those of you who are turning in or just tuning in, there's also the issue you touch on because this. I think that Dr. Bhattachar and RFK Jr., it seems like they're kind of walking back this registry. Because the first thing I thought of when I saw that, and of course you touched on this in your piece, but the thing that popped in my head was, okay, well, what about like privacy, like HIPAA and patient privacy? Like, how does that factor into like creating a registry? What would that solve?
Well, the problem isn't so much the registry. They do have disease registries for other issues that they follow. And that's not necessarily the problem. The problem is, and I can see the good and bad to this, but Dr. Bhattacharya wants the he wants to create a real world platform where he wants the NIH to become a one stop shop for all of the health data that researchers might need. And he also wants it to be able to track patients in real time. And he says that inside this real world platform, the personal identifying information would be stripped out so that researchers can't find it. But it's going to be in there because they're going to be getting data not just from Medicare and Medicaid. They're going to be getting data from the VA, TRICARE, private healthcare industries, your smartwatch.
Wow.
They plan to get data from. They plan to get data from everywhere, and they want to be able to connect you, that patient, across all of those different sources, so that your information is all tied together, which means that whatever way they do that has to be inside the platform, where when they get my stuff from my private doctor versus my TRICARE doctor, they can link my name together and then put that same anonymizing ID onto that documentation. So that's a problem because the federal government's been hacked like a lot, like 1,200 times in the last 7 years. So, yeah, it's crazy. So I don't trust for one bit that they wouldn't get hacked. And on top of that, he says he seems to think this is going to help by saying that, oh, we're not going to let anybody download your information. They have to access it from here. So that means that whenever they want to work with data, they have to be online, which means the database has to be online 24/7. Do we really think that's not going to get hacked? Like, that's going to be a huge problem.
Wow.
And the thing is, people need to realize this doesn't just apply to autism. He's planning to extend this to every chronic disease that they're doing research on. So diabetes is going to be in there, arthritis, anything that they do research on, any chronic disease, he wants all the data for it to be in this platform.
And that worries me because we've, as you noted, I'm still trying to process 1,200 times in 7 years. That is insane. Yeah. I think of the Social Security information that was hacked and leaked, IRS information that gets hacked and leaked. Who's to say that? I mean, depending on who we have in the White House in 2028, I mean, we saw during COVID things be leaked and be weaponized and used against people. Who's to assure us? What's the guarantee that this wouldn't be the same? I mean, I don't see any.
Exactly. He's like, oh, well, we're going to have state-of-the-art protections. Sure. And I'm sure they had state-of-the-art protections on our Social Security data that got hacked, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't really trust it. I don't trust that it won't get hacked.
I don't
understand the benefit for what he's trying to do, because like one of the things he said is that with data in so many different sources, the NIH then has to buy access to that data, and then they wind up, so they'll buy from company A and then they'll buy from company B. And when they get the data from both companies, they wind up finding out it's the exact same data. So they've paid twice for the same data. And so I understand that, it's like, I get what he wants to do and I understand it. But at the same time, it's a bit concerning. It's kind of like how the NRA right now, or not the NRA, the 2A, the mm-hmm. National Gun Registry stuff.
Yeah.
How the federal government can't have an actual gun registry, but technically there is one because mm-hmm. all the FFAs have to keep all that documentation. And then once they shut down those, you know, they shut down the little small gun shops, all that data gets sent to the federal government.
Yep.
Where they're digitizing it because, hey, it needs to be searchable. So what we have there is just it's non-centralized, but it's still a gun registry. It's just not centralized. Well, right. What we have now is still like a database for health. It's just not centralized,
yeah,
which helps to prevent so much of it from getting hacked. But they want to just centralize everything into one place.
That's terrifying, a terrifying realization.
Yes.
One last quick question, too. It feels like their heart is in the right place when they talk about how to best assist people in the autism community. But I feel like this, it seems like it's a very universal, almost kind of one size fits all, or they're trying to figure out how to kind of distill it down to make it like the easiest and most kind of universal application. And I feel like out of every thing that's out there, this is like so individualized that you just can't approach it that way.
Yeah, it's difficult because, like I said, the frustrating thing with RFK is he keeps saying genetics is a dead end. Genetics is a dead end, but we already know there's so much evidence out there that genes play a really key role in everything. They have found one genetic mutation that is the difference between how autism presents in men and women. They have found hundreds of potential mutations that might be affecting how autism works. They found at least 7 genetic mutations that appear in like families that have hereditary right. autism, like my family does.
Wow.
So genetics is definitely a key factor here. There is a possibility that environment could play a role. But we also know that your environment can affect your genetics.
Yeah.
And so there's studies that can be done, like the whole vaccine thing. Everybody likes to quote Andrew Wakefield, and his study was so bad and so debunked. And I wrote about that in the first piece I did on this. But we don't have any studies that show what vaccines might do to our genetics. We don't have any vaccines that show what vaccines might affect on our genetics over time,
right,
throughout generations. And that's something that could be studied, but we're not going to get that out of this crew.
Yeah.
They are so insistent. He has actually legitimately says that he knows that it is an environmental toxin or something.
You can't shut off half of the queries.
He knows it's
like
something
that.
Environmental because like he's compared autism to smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, that's you can't do that. You can't do that.
You can't trust anything that comes out of this
yeah.
because, like I said, it seems like they already have decided on what the answers are.
They
just
want
to try
solution.
To find the data to fit.
Right. The piece is RFK Jr.'s Troublesome Autism Registry. It's a very good, thorough read on this issue, and you should definitely read it from Lorraine Uriar. Always a pleasure. Lorraine, this is a great piece. You do great work. Go and read her over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find her in the chat. You can see the chat folks in the back over at Rumble on the Daily. Lorraine, always a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk with you again soon.
All right. See you.
See ya. God bless.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.